I want to review a little bit. Last week, we're talking about working out your salvation, and I love this, created to serve. We are created to serve. Every one of us was created to serve. And so I'm going to review, but I'm going to review because I want to add a little bit more to it, what we did last week. And I'm so excited about doing this whole serving thing. But Philippians 2:12 was a verse we talked about. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, talking to believers in Christ, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. A key word in there is as you have obeyed. God has called us to serve. It's obedience to God that makes us serve. It's obedience to God that lets us give, and why we give and why we serve. But we are called to obey. And then it says, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence and now in my absence, Paul says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And those words, there's some words in here that throw you off. Continue to work out your salvation with fear. Now, when we first see that in English, it's like, oh, you know. So what God wants to do, once we get saved, we're supposed to work at being saved like, oh. You know, work with our salvation like, oh, if God looks at me, I'm going to crack out, you know, just die. And there's a couple words, the different fear means a couple different things. One is the noun part of it, is frightened or in horror or alarm. God does not save us so we can work with fright and be afraid and alarmed. Oh, that doesn't sound like a loving God. So we'll take the other part of the fear. God says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The other part is reverence or respect. Now that sounds much more like the God that I know all throughout the Bible. Obey God and continue to work out or work at your salvation, we talked last week, with reverence and respect. And Psalms is all through that. The verses aren't up here, but Psalm 22:23, you who fear the Lord, praise Him. See, that's not the afraid of God. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. Psalm 128:1, all who fear the Lord walk in obedience to Him. If you truly respect the Lord, if you truly reverence the Lord, we are called to walk in obedience. So all you who say we love God, we fear God, walk in obedience. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See, these are great things. Psalm 25:14, the Lord confides in those who fear Him. We're encouraged to fear God, to respect, not be afraid, but to fear God and to respect Him. And Psalm 33:18, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope are on His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. See, this is a great thing to fear the Lord. So we read the verse, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Don't be afraid. Out of respect, we're going to love God, and we're going to serve Him, and and He's going to speak to us. He's going to keep it honest. Then it has the word trembling in there. That seems to go with the afraid fear, you know, trembling. Like, you think God wants us to respect Him so much that we're just like, oh. See, it's not the scared kind of trembling like that. Okay, that's my interpretation of being scared. That's what I do when I'm scared. It's not like a girly. Anyway, but God doesn't want us. It's not that kind of trembling. I'm trying to think what kind of trembling goes with respect and reverence for God. And so I thought of something. I thought for a long time, sitting in my chair. How can I? What is trembling in there? How do you tremble? Anybody own a dog? Anybody own a dog? Okay. Nobody raised that. Yes, great, thank you. Huh? Yes, some of you guys, everybody was going like this. Okay, so you own a dog, and you ever weigh all day, or you weigh on vacation, and you come home, or just away for an hour, and you come home, what's meeting you inside the door? This dog, is he afraid of you because you beat him every time you come home? Shouldn't be, but you know, he's waiting in there going, you know, his little tail's, he's peeing all around. Why? Because he's afraid of you? No, because he's thrilled to see you. He can't wait to jump on you and pee on your couch and everything. It's awesome. You know, the dog is trembling out of sheer love and respect and honor and wanting to know you. Now, I don't think God wants us to be peeing all over the floor because I don't think that's in the word tremble here. But it puts it into my mind a little bit more. It gets rid of the fear of God. And I respect Him so much that I want to serve Him. I want to serve. I want to do what God has me to do. God knit me together in my mother's womb, and he's got all these gifts and things for me to do. He has a job for me specifically. I want to find it. I want to find it. I want to do it. I don't want to miss the ability to serve God. Now, it says, we talked last week, continue to work out your salvation. Doesn't mean you have to work. You have to work to get it. We know that. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, or 2, 10. For by grace you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, the gift of God. Not by works, otherwise people would brag about it. Okay, so we're not working to get our salvation. And our salvation comes fairly easy. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. You know how hard it is to get saved? You have to hear the gospel of truth, and you have to believe. That's as much work as we can do for our salvation. And any of the works that God has prepared in advance for us to do, they aren't to get salvation. They are because we obey him, and because we love him, and we want to serve him. So to be saved, you just hear, and you believe. Okay, and then God marks you the moment. Well, let's look at this. 2 Corinthians 1:20, 1:22. Now it is God who makes both us and you to stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set a seal of ownership on us, put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So God doesn't say, well, if you don't work enough, I'm going to take away your salvation. We're not working to keep our salvation. The moment we were saved, God in the form of the Holy Spirit came and lived in our life. Don't understand that. That's what the Bible says. And it changes us from the inside out. But it is a deposit guaranteeing that we're going to spend eternity with God someday. That's just an amazing thing. Plus it has other things we're going to be talking about, other great benefits that we're going to be talking about next week. But it's God who makes us do this. So let's go back to the verse to look at it more closely, Philippians 2:12. Am I talking really fast today? I am. I'm not going to slow down. I don't have time to slow down. I'll try to slow down. I'll try to take a breath every once in a while. Philippians 2:12. This is therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue, he's talking to his church, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now that, continue to work out your salvation. We told you last week that it's more like continue to work at your salvation. And so I wanted to make that a little more understandable so it's not like a works-based thing, okay? Continue to work at your salvation. And I come up with, I think, a pretty good example. A pretty good example is marriage. Now, some of you guys aren't married. I'm going to tell you some things you probably don't already know. First, you meet each other. It's like, Google eyes and everything. And then you get to spend time together and you like each other. And all of a sudden, you get engaged and you wait for that whole engagement period. And then the day, it's just everything's uphill. I mean, really cool uphill. It's getting better and better and better. And all of a sudden, you stand in front of the pastor and says, now by the power committed to me as a minister, you know, I pronounce you husband and wife. You may kiss the bride. That's the best part. Anyway, and from that moment on, I want you to understand something. It is eternal bliss with your spouse the rest of your life. I'm serious about this. Vicki and I just celebrated our 38th anniversary, and it is getting better and better and better. We have not had, once you're married, you are so in love, you will not have words with each other, you will not have arguments, you will not have fights, you will not like get frustrated. It just gets better and better, doesn't it? You don't even have to try. You can just, it just happens to everybody, correct? Okay. Vicki and I have never had words since like 3 days ago. Okay. I can't really, anyway, we're not, we won't go there. But obviously it doesn't work at that. It doesn't work like that. And if you stop being married, if you stop working at your marriage, guess what happens to your marriage? It becomes hell on earth. It gets worse and worse and harder and more frustrating and more frustrating. God says, work at your marriage. It is hard to love someone regularly, to grow closer to them. It takes hard work, but it is well worth the work. And so I say, from talking to a lot of marriages that aren't doing this, continue to work at your marriage. You're already married. It doesn't make you married because you work at it, but you work at your marriage. And a lot of people tell me, I wish I would have done that more in my first marriage. And because of the separation, they are now taking a look at their life and saying, man, I failed a lot. But we are called to work at our marriage. And if that's not a good enough example, I'm a pastor. What are pastors supposed to do? Well, yeah, besides being perfect. Thank you. Who was that? Next week you're going to have free offering. I'll give you a pass to that. Pastors are called to pastor. I'm a pastor. Now I don't just sit and take off. Well, I take off 6 days a week. I only work one day a week. But I'm kidding. But we're called to pastor. We have to work at being a pastor. All right? If you're a teacher, what are you called to do? Just live on the pension you got the moment you became a teacher and got out of college? No. You're called to teach. You work at your profession. Farmers. What are farmers supposed to do? Farmers are supposed to farm. If you're a farmer, you're supposed to farm. Farming is what farmers do. I sound like Brian Regan when I say that. He's a comedian that's much funnier than me. You ought to listen to him sometime. Anyway, farmers don't say, I bought the farm. Well, that you'd be dead, but you know. I never knew what that term meant, but farmers buy a farm because they're all wealthy. And they buy a farm and they don't just say, okay, now I'll just sit out here and watch my crops grow. And oops, I see a weed and the weed says, oh, there's the farmer, die. You know, it doesn't do that. You got to work at farming. Well, as a Christ follower, what are we called to do? Follow. It's not just now I'm saved, I can take it easy and I don't have to do anything anymore. Philippians 2, 5 to 12, we read that. We're told that Jesus was exalted to the highest place because he was a servant. And what does a servant do? That's a tough one. Servants serve. And Jesus was exalted to the highest place because he took the very nature of a servant. And we are called to do the same thing. Christ's followers are called to serve. We were created to serve. God knit us together. DNA by DNA, strand by strand, in our mother's womb, to do the good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Thank you for all the help. I'm glad this group listens right here. I appreciate that. God, we were created to serve. If you're a servant, what I had to do, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and even before you were a believer in Jesus Christ, you were created to serve. Now start serving. Continue serving. If you're not serving, you should be serving. Not just serving in the church. Oh, there's all kinds of places I do not understand for the life of me. Still like me when I'm done saying this, please. But I do not understand why every couple does not take one Sunday a year to serve in the nursery. I do not understand that. I know! They're little kids. Step on them. Not my kids. You have permission to step on my grandkids. Serve! Not just in the church. We've got examples of places to serve right now with Pastor Sistuma or Pastor Brito Joseph. Your name is backwards. It is Brito Joseph. But yeah, Joseph is his family name. And I've been calling him Pastor Joseph all the time. Well, I guess that's anyway. But we were created to serve. So serve. Now, when we serve, why do we have to serve? For whose sake do we serve? For whose sake, think about this before you answer. For whose sake are we called to serve? I know you're thinking, for goodness sake. No, not for goodness sake, all right? Whose sake are we asked to serve? For whose sake? I'm not there yet. Who said that? All right, just wait a minute. Hold that answer for a minute. Are we asked to serve for the church? Because the church will fall apart if I don't serve. Whose sake are we asked to give? Well, the church won't be able to pay its bills if we don't give. No, we're not asked to give. We're asked to give for God's sake. It brings honor to God, but does God say, you got to give money because, man, I'm going to run out with a missionary average India if you don't give. No, God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. We're called to serve for whose sake? Our sake. We were created to serve. And when we are not serving, there is a spiritual unfulfillment in our life. And it'll just seem like something's missing when we don't serve. It's for our own sake that God said this. Continue to work out your salvation with reverence for God and excitement to do it. Although the excitement goes quickly in nursery. I know that. But we are called to be able to go home and say, I served. And there are some parents that will know Christ better because I spent an hour and a half in nursery. There are some children that will learn the Word of God and apply it to their life because I served in KFJ. There are people who will be trained to know the Bible better because I cataloged some books, because I helped send out a newsletter. Let alone the teachers and leaders and all that kind of stuff. There are people that will know Christ because you helped put a roof on the leaky part of our church, because you helped put siding up, because you made the windows, you washed the windows in the church, because you served. There are heavenly rewards for you to go home and say, oh, my arms are so tired. But it's not from pushing the remote this time. It's not from my job, which just pays me, which God wants you to have. But there's a depth in serving your Creator the way you were created to serve. Created to do good works, Ephesians 2:10 tells us. And now that we have been given salvation, now that we've came to the point where we realize that I was a sinner, like, I love these testimonies. That I was afraid of what was at the end of my life. I felt like my whole big goal in life is I'm a fan club for some actress. Yeah, I would laugh just like that. Thank you. But now I've got these 200 fan club members accepting Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, changing their entire destiny. How's that compare to having a birthday cake and a statue for a TV person? The depth of the fulfillment from serving God, from doing little things, anything. So now that we've been saved, our response should be serve the one who saved us. Not because we have to and do it out of fear. God owes. I owe him my life. I owe him my service. I owe him some extra time. I owe him some sore muscles. I owe him to make serving him more of a priority in my life than serving myself. Second Corinthians 5:14-15. Oh, I just want to tell you, I every once in a while I quote a movie, and I watched a while back The Count of Monte Cristo. Cool movie. It was Jim Caviezel. Remember, he's the guy that played Jesus, so I have to be careful I talk about him, you know. But Jim Caviezel was the Count of Monte Cristo. He got out of prison. He swam across this big, you know, river, lake, ocean thing, and he washed up on shore where there was a bunch of pirates meeting over there. So obviously, know it's a good movie, okay? Because there's you know. And he got up there, and they said if he wants to stay with them, he has to fight, you know. And there was a fight to the death between him and Giacomo. Giacomo, I think, was the pirate he was fighting. And Jim Caviezel just destroyed him, you know. Giacomo's laying there in the sand, and Jim's about ready to stab him, cut his throat. And everybody's like, kill him, kill him, kill him. And Giacomo's looking at it. He just stops with the knife. He said, I'm not going to kill you. No, I'm not going to go that far and kill him. And Giacomo instantly said, from now on, I'm your man. I'm your servant. And he served him the rest of his life because he owed him his life. And I love that. As a believer in Jesus Christ, to sometimes say, God, I'm your man. I'm your woman. I'm your student. I'm yours. Here I stand, arms open wide. I'm yours. Where are the believers in America that are surrendering their time, their life, their talents to the King of Kings who saved us and sacrificed his life in my place? If a pirate can do it, you can do it too. Even though some of you guys look pretty close to pirates. Jesse, that beard's a little pirate-ish there. We are created to serve, to work at our salvation the way any employee would, the way any husband or wife should. It's still work, and it's still hard. But the second Matthew 11, 28 to 30 is the one I want to show you, and I want to end with this, because what God says to us, come to me. It's not a vacation. It's still work. Continue to work. No matter how you look at work, it's work. Okay? But continue to work at your salvation. Use what God has given you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. See, it's work. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we'll talk about that. Just an amazing verse. I want to open that up a little bit more next week. But I just want you to understand that God is not talking about give your life to Christ and now you can just sit back and say, I already served. I'm done. Or maybe I'll serve when I'm older and when I have more of a place. You were created to serve. Serve the one who saved you. Now. And as we go through the series, we're going to open up all kinds of different service ministries, not just from the church. I mean, we have so many of them sitting right here. So if you get involved in their service, you don't have to come back to church for the next 3 weeks. Just kidding. All right? But serve. Serve God. God, where can I serve you? Here I am, God. I sing these praises to you. I lift up my voice to praise your name. But if I'm not serving, I'm not doing what I'm created for. And if you're not doing what you were created for, you are misusing your body. And don't expect things in life to be satisfying and exciting. When you serve God, you're going to be tired. It's going to be hard. You're going to go to KFJ, and you're going to say, oh, I don't want to go. I'd rather stay home on Wednesday night. And it's going to be hard. And on your way home, you're going to say, but I heard Brittany teach. And these kids are knowing Christ because she is a good teacher. And I'm glad I'm part of that. And to see what happens in the growth. And then to see some of these kids go off to be missionaries. See them go off to college and stand up and give testimonies and hear some of that. You don't always see the fruit of your labor right away. Farmers know that. But they only have to wait a season or two. Sometimes in ministry, when you're serving God, you might have to wait till ever. And then someday they're up here getting married, they're serving the Lord, they're planting a church and somewhere in Schuylkill County, and you can say, I used to change her diapers or his diapers. And now they're missionaries and planting a church. What an amazing thing. Or to see these videos and say, I bought a fairing for someone's motorbike. I bought a tire. I bought the whole stinking bike. That's even be better, you know? I'm not making light of serving. Please understand that. And understand that you're not serving for my sake or for the church's sake or for India's sake. You're serving for your own sake. God will bless you for serving in His name. And when we stop serving in His name, we become unfulfilled. Or we stay unfulfilled. And I'm convinced that some people pray to God and some people have their quiet time and it seems flat. Try serving and then praying. Try using what God... So explore. Where do I feel that God wants me to serve? What was my DNA knitted together for? And get involved in that. It won't take your troubles away. It might even bring more troubles. But inside, in spite of all them troubles, it's like you go to bed at night and you think, I'm doing something spiritual in this world. And coming to church doesn't count. I'm going to encourage you. Does coming to church count? Don't stop coming. This is awesome, because we need to be encouraged here. But encourage to grow here and serve there somewhere. Ask God where you can serve. What a great thing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. What an awesome morning. All this potential. And Lord, we get a chance to see and hear what you're doing with our measly amount of money. It's just so exciting that every single one of us that have dropped anything in the offering plate has part of this. What an awesome thing. And I pray that you might call us to become more and more of that kind of church that opens our hands with our finances and open our hands with our life and open our hands with our talents and open our hands with our work and the jobs and whatever you've called us to do. God, use us as a church. Please don't stop using us. I'm proud of this church, but help us not to become proud of ourselves. But help us to humbly, with fear and trembling, serve you. And work at our salvation. Be what you called us to be as we follow you. Use us, God, in mundane, ordinary ways, if that's your will. Or in great ways, or whatever you see, whatever you think is best. Use each one of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Don't get up. You guys skedaddle. Go back to your table. They're assigned a table back there. See them. Encourage them. Pastor Satuma, get out of here and go back and stand somewhere. So if anybody wants to get involved with you, they can. Go now. Okay. Go. Yes, you. Yes. Can you do that for me? Okay. Very good. Great to have you guys here. Thanks for coming. See you next week.